To me, last night felt like you go up to Santa and you're like, Santa could, you know, maybe for Christmas, just, we've been really good. Maybe Kings can, you know, at least be competitive with the Celtics, maybe beat the Celtics. And Santa just says, smack!
Smack.
Right?
Right, exactly.
Like, not for you.
You've been naughty. You don't deserve anything.
Yeah.
You know?
Are you okay, big fella? Because you were pretty pretty upset last night. You were calling for box scores and then tearing them up and going after people.
I'm still angry, man. I'm still upset. I'm still in shell. I'm shell-shocked. I'm just down today, man. I'm disappointed. You know, this is not the way I wanted to wake up today. You know, I was excited. Obviously, Boston's a big game for me. Great team. You know, Jaylen Brown's amazing. Derek White's playing out of his mind. But I thought my guys were ready. I thought my guys would be, you know what? This will be the one time, because we've had our butts kicked by them, you know, the last few years. I thought this was our best opportunity to knock them off, to get the win. And for us to come out like that and play like that, I'm disappointed. And I said it on the post-game show last night. Watching that game. See, when you're calling the game, it's a different feel. Because you got to keep your head into it. You got to, you know, still describe the action. But when you're just sitting there watching it, and you got to stew on that.
I was going to say stewing it a little
bit.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. And that's how I was last night. It's like I'm sitting there. I'm down. I'm stewing in it. Really nobody to talk to vent to or anything. I'm saving it up for the post-game show. And once post-game hit, it just all came out, man. It just, it was pretty bad. It was the worst. I said it yesterday. This is the worst loss of the season. Not the Houston, not Pelicans, not Clippers. Last night was the worst loss of the season because we didn't have any excuse as to why we couldn't beat those guys last night.
I think the main reason is the Kings right now are just not as good as Boston. And it shouldn't have been that one-sided. But, you know, the Kings have shortcomings. Boston sniffed them out as a predator will, took advantage of them. And I thought, you know, really by late second quarter, you could see that, okay, it's going to be like this. The game tilted in Boston's favor. And I, like you, we discussed yesterday, I thought things looked really promising for the Kings. But once the game started, you could see the way it was going and the way Boston just looked so physically dominant. I felt like, it's one of those games. It's one of those non-competitive nights for the Kings.
Yeah, I tell you, Whitey, we got much bigger problems if we're not better than a Boston team with no Jason Tatum and no Al Horford. If we can't compete with that team,
we're much farther
away than any of us thought. Because I'm not going – Boston's a more talented team, yes. But that roster they put out there last night is not better than Sacramento's roster. I'm not giving them that.
Really?
Derek White's good.
What happened then?
Kristaps Porzingis is good. Jaylen Brown is good. Jrue Holiday's good. After that, the Celtics fall off a cliff in terms of talent on that roster. That's why I'm so disappointed. Mm-hmm. I'm not upset that we lost to the Celtics. That happens. I'm upset we got embarrassed by that version of the Celtics.
Well, what's
Peyton
the problem
Pritchard
then?
Turning into Larry Bird out there.
Peyton Pritchard's a good shooter.
Exactly. Read the scouting report. That's what I'm talking about. Everything Mike Brown and the coaches preached, we did the opposite last night. What did I say, Whitey, yesterday during our show? Do you remember I said the one way the Celtics can beat us? I don't know if you remember this or not. I said a lot of things yesterday. If they shoot the three, like that's their only way of really scoring without Jason Tatum. If they don't have the three ball, it's going to be difficult for them to score. Sure, Porzingis can get his bucket. Sure, Jaylen Brown. But Peyton Pritchard, he's a one-trick pony. Sam Hauser, he's a one-trick pony. And so I said it. Don't let them shoot the three ball. That's how you make like they scored 104. That Celtics team scored 144 points. Come on, man. That's why I was so upset yesterday. And now you get my blood pressure worked up again. Because it's not losing to the Celtics. It's losing to those Celtics.
Well, then what's the problem? I look at that and say, wow, they're not as good as Boston right now. You say that's not the issue. What is the issue then? What is it about the Kings that they're lacking? You seem to be implying that they didn't bring the necessary focus.
Do we think they did?
Intensity.
I'm not implying it. We saw it. We saw it. This was not a Celtics thing. This was a Kings problem last night.
Ah, you're fooling yourself.
No, not that roster. No.
Because
We didn't play zero different. So are you telling me Peyton Pritchard is overmatching our guys? Is that what you're telling me?
Listen, Pritchard's
they
not
had
the whole team.
Five guys in double figures. Uh-huh. I mean, 20 or more
20,
points.
Yes.
Exactly. Yes. You know, I'm looking at their roster. Porzingis, solid player. Derek White. But the game plan is take away the three. We let them hit 52% from three. And so this is not a roster problem. This is an execution, toughness, whatever you will, kind of problem. And I think this is something the coaches cannot fix. This is on the players, what we saw last night.
Then I think you have to make some changes to the roster. I don't know that it's a matter of intensity. I don't think the Kings were flat last night. I think the Kings came out and got flattened. And you're right.
And it's just
Boston
like what happened to the Pelicans,
team.
Though. The Pelicans did the same thing.
Yeah.
If you remember
yeah.
at Golden 1, the Kings came out hitting on all cylinders. And then, bam, mm-hmm. Pelicans got some confidence, and they just took over that game and ran away with it. Watching that game last night, I said to myself, this is bad. Even when we were hitting threes, when they started to make their comeback in the second half of the first quarter, I'm like, we're just out here trading buckets. Like, this is not
– right.
We're not playing Kings basketball. This is not winning basketball we're playing. And I think there was fool's gold with those 11 three-pointers in that first quarter. And the Celtics cut it off after that. The three was a non-factor in the second half for Sacramento. They only got up 14 three-point attempts in the second half. And so the Celtics, give them credit. They did a great job. But to me, this is on Sacramento. This is on the Kings. I can't acknowledge and accept that Celtics roster last night is better than our roster. It's better than our team.
Really?
Yes, I can't accept that.
Hmm.
This was about effort. This was about execution. And this is about the players needing to look in the mirror, because what happened last night should not happen. Not without
Tatum. Jaylen Brown, Porzingis, White, and Holiday are still very formidable starting bunch. And yeah, they have Hauser in there, and he did some nice things. The Kings were overmatched physically. That's why it looked like they were flat. That's why it looked like they didn't bring
the intensity.
So Derek
White overmatched
us?
They
couldn't match up.
Derek White is overmatching us?
Derek White did overmatch them last night.
That's what I'm saying. But you can't tell me Derek White overmatches De'Aaron Fox, overmatches Keegan Murray, overmatches Malik Monk.
You overmatched Kevin Herter. That's the guy that the
Kevin Herter played 16 minutes.
Because he couldn't stay on the floor.
Exactly. But when you lose 144 to 119, we can't talk about Kevin Herter. We can't point the finger at Kevin Herter. We can't point the finger at Harrison Barnes. This is on every single player. And I cannot accept that if you take out Jason Tatum and Al Horford, that Celtics roster we see right there, that they're still an upper echelon team. Now, maybe if you want to tell me the Kings aren't as good as we thought, that Kings aren't a top four team in the Western Conference. But if you're a top four team in the Western Conference, you can't tell me that Celtics roster should overmatch you. And it wasn't even Jaylen Brown. Jaylen Brown had a great game. He had some monstrous dunks.
Yeah.
You know, but Derek White, you know why? Because here's the thing, Whitey, and you got me fired up. And I know we just starting. And I want to hear from Kings fans out there. It was the effort. Did you see the corner three that Derek White had about 20 seconds to set up? That's what I'm talking. That's not overmatched. That's not being a – we didn't play. We gave up 30 fast break points.
Mm-hmm.
How do you give up 30 fast break points?
Why do you
turn
the
ball –
night before.
And you turn the ball over seven times.
The Celtics last night had 6 points off of JaVale McGee blocks. That is twice. He blocked a shot, and they made a three – anyway,
that's the effort. That's the hustle. That's what I'm talking about. You know, sure, they out-executed us, you know, great game plan and everything like that. But to your point, JaVale McGee blocked shots. They were faster to every loose ball. We look like the team on the second night of a back-to-back.
No question.
And that's what's frustrating to me, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm not pointing out Kevin Herter to try to blame him. I'm saying when you have a guy on the roster that the other team seeks out like a predator, sniffs out the weakness and goes after you, it speaks to how your roster is perhaps not a top caliber roster. And that's the big takeaway from last night. Nothing against Kevin Herter or any particular player. It's like, if this team wants to be as good as Boston and other teams that are contenders, you probably are going to have to do something.
But let me ask you, is that a takeaway?
That was the lesson
of
last night.
Or did we know that already? That's what I'm saying.
We didn't know that for sure.
I knew that. Sacramento, the current roster is not a championship-level roster. Did you think it was a championship before last night's game?
No, but they'd been playing very well.
But that was against Utah. That was against Washington. That's what I said. Now, whatever happened to those games, mm-hmm. is one thing to do it against them. Now you got to do it against Boston, a team that's going to put pressure on you. And that Boston is relentless. Boston is how we should be playing right now. That physicality Mike Brown's talking about, Boston, that's how they play no matter who's on the floor. But come on, I mean.
The one thing you and I both said, I don't know, Tuesday, I think it was, the three games upcoming against three good teams, Boston and Phoenix and Minnesota, we both said, well, what did we need to see? We both said, well, they got to be competitive in every game.
Yeah.
They were not last night.
And they weren't. You know, but from a roster standpoint, and I also said, if I'm Monty McNair, I already know our flaws. I already know what we need. You know, what happens these three games is not going to change anything. You know, we hope Keegan Murray takes that next step up. We're going to have to take, give him some time, obviously, and be patient with him. But, you know, when you look at our roster, and hopefully, I'm sure we're going to get into Kevin O'Connor coming up a little later. I had a chance to text with him last night about the Kings and his take on Sacramento. So I'll share some of that. But when you look at Sacramento, and I thought about this driving in today, what you see from the Kings is, at their best, they can be really good. But the problem this year is that their floor is lower than it was last year. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a, you know, they're Jekyll and Hyde.
Yeah.
One game, they look like they could be Western Conference Finals contenders. Then other times, it looks like, you know what? This team, you know, could be a first one and done, you know, a play-in kind of team. And so I'm frustrated, man. I do want to hear from the fans today, too, because this is their chance to vent out there, 916-339-1140. I was calm, cool, collected, and then we got to bring this up again, Whitey. I mean, it's
what'd
like,
you think
like,
we were going to talk about today.
I know.
We got a whole list of things that
Eagles
doesn't
want
to talk
tonight.
Don't talk about the 49ers.
Right.
Don't talk about the Eagles.
Don't talk about Brock Purdy. Yeah. Can't do that. Yeah.
Do we have Drape's takes?
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
We're right back with those. Drive guys on Sacktown Sports. Did last night in any way change your view of what these Kings are, what they can accomplish this year? 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. We'll get your calls in just a moment. Whitey Gleason, Kyle Draper. Drape's having a tough time today. Is some of that, I understand where you're coming from, is some of it because of the whole you and the Boston thing and the things you
do? I give that 10%.
Yeah.
I give that 10% because I know this team. I know their players. I know some of their coaches had, you know, some conversations with their coaches before yesterday's game. I think what for me is so upsetting is that they continually beat us the way they do. It's one thing to lose to Houston, to lose to the Pelicans. But against the Celtics, we get blown out every single time.
Right. Just
every single time. And so, yes, part of it is my, you know, I got close ties to the organization, friends in the media and things like that. I want some bragging rights. But after a while, you just get tired of getting beat the way you've been getting beat. And so, and what upset me the most, too, I don't know where all these Celtics fans coming from, Whitey.
Oh, I know.
But
apparently even Porzingis was surprised, seriously, last night.
At the end of that game,
let's
go Celtics. Like, they come out of, you know, they're like groundhogs. They come out one day a year. And we saw them all. I had no idea. And I know the Celtics have a huge contingent worldwide. But, man, they come out one game a year. And so that bothered me also.
After we talked to Scal, and I know you had to get ready to do your TV.
Yeah.
And Scal goes out into the concourse, and there's all these Celtic fans.
They were lining up for him and everything.
And he's signing off. It was like, it wasn't even announced, but people, there's so many Celtic fans there. They saw him, and they're flocking to him. That brings us to Drape's takes.
Calm down, Lion. Calm down. Take it easy, man. Just take it easy.
Let me start off by saying this. This is going to be the most uninspired Drape's takes of the season. I can't say anything positive about last night's game. My guy, De'Aaron Fox, celebrating his 26th birthday, comes out. What does he do in the first half? Scores 26 points. I'm like, okay, D-Fox is ready. No Jason Tatum, didn't matter. De'Aaron Fox was going to be the best player on the floor. What happened in the second half? Where'd he go in the second half? 3 points? for De'Aaron Fox, an MVP candidate in the second half? I said it yesterday on the post-game show, and this will be the theme of Drape's takes. We got to be better. De'Aaron Fox, we got to be better. I'll also look at the defense. When you allow the Boston Celtics to shoot 55% overall, 52% from three, 30 points in transition, then you look at the points in the paint. They won that battle also. And you let them hit 22 threes. Don't talk to me about an improved defense, Whitey.
Oh, their defense is
terrible. Their defense is... Yeah. Don't be fooled by what we see against Utah or whatever. Because, and Scal pointed this out too. Scal said fourth quarter defense. I'm going to put it like this. How about defense against the best of the best? Because that's what we're trying to measure ourselves against. I don't care what kind of defense you play against San Antonio, Detroit, Utah, Washington. I need the defense on nights like last night. So all this talk about an improved defensive team, it's going to be a minute before I jump back on that board, that bandwagon. I don't care what the rating says. I don't care what the number says. You got to do it against an upper echelon team.
And
Whitey,
I still think that's at the very heart of the whole issue for the Kings. Until they're a better defensive team, they're going to be an up and down team. I think that's their nature.
Last Drape's take. I'm at the point, if I'm Mike Brown, and I know it's one game, guys. It's one of 82. But when you got seven losses of 20 or more points, I think it is, this season, or seven double-digit losses.
I think they tied the number they had from last season.
Yeah,
last night.
Yeah, exactly. Something has to be done. A lineup change, a rotation change, something. Because like I said last segment, Kings fans, this Kings team has the potential to be good, really good. Maybe not finals contender, but they should be a Western Conference final caliber kind of team. But as we've seen through the first 26 games, they also have the potential to flame out early.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we're seeing now, to me, if I'm Monty McNair, if I'm Mike Brown, if I'm Wes Wilcox, whoever, I need to nip whatever problems we have, whatever issues we have in the bud right now. We cannot go into March and April having the same issues that we have right now. So something needs to change. Bring in some reinforcements. Go out there and get an Alex Caruso. Somebody like that. Go out there and make that kind of move. I don't know if Matisse Thybulle would move the needle. But it's clear as day. And to your point, Whitey, we knew that before yesterday. But it's like the Celtics came in with a big floodlight and shined it on us last night.
No question.
About our team's issues last night.
Yeah.
And so if you didn't know, you know right now. This team, and we're talking about winning a championship. You can make the playoffs. You can even maybe win a series, but we're trying to move forward. And so that's Drape's takes, man. I know we got 3 hours and 45 minutes to talk today. I'm all talked out. Like, I don't know what to say about what happened last night.
Let me ask you this.
Yes.
And I'm not disagreeing with you, but I'm asking the question. As you said, game like that last night, you got to make some changes. Okay. And I understand. On the other hand, I mean, they've been playing well up into that. So you got a game against Phoenix tomorrow. It's a big game.
Right.
So do you, you know, risk overreacting to last night was dreadful. The team had been playing well. Do you just give them one more chance? I mean, that's where it is. That's where it gets so difficult when the team is up playing great. They're terrible.
Right.
You know?
And that's one thing
conundrum.
We've talked about the last couple of weeks. The roller coaster that we're going to be on this season, you know?
Yeah.
And so my belief is, all right, if we want to keep it as is, as Kings fans, then we got to accept we're going to have games like this. We're going to look good some nights.
Uh-huh.
We're going to look terrible some nights. But that's our job. Monty McNair's job is to put together a championship roster. His job is to make sure our dips aren't that low. You know, like when we hit the rock bottom, all right, you lose by 6. You lose by 8. You lose by 10. You don't get down by 35 or whatever it was. What was Celtics but 30 points last night? Come on, man.
Yeah.
Especially at home in a game they didn't have Jason Tatum or Al Horford in a game that they had just played the night before against Golden State in overtime?
Non-competitive.
Non-competitive.
Yeah.
And so if I'm Monty McNair, Mike Brown, whoever's in charge, I'm not trying to build a roster for Friday against Phoenix, for Saturday again. I'm trying to build a roster for April, May, and June that can sustain. And so You can't have these kind of ups and downs in the playoffs because you can't count on it. Mm-hmm. You, I don't know which Kings team is going to show up, you know, based on what I saw last night.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where I'm at.
It's one thing that's constant when a team like New Orleans, when they came in here on that Monday night, Boston last night, when a team that's big has some size and some length, they come in and they play physically, the Kings can't outmatch it. And Mike Brown says, we have to match that. Understand that. Understand they work on that. They're not capable of matching it, right? Either that or there's something else wrong.
Right.
Like they don't have the will, which I can't believe. Because they cannot keep up with teams like that.
No, and it goes back to whether it's the Clippers, the Pelicans. There are certain teams, throw the Celtics in there, for some reason, whether it's their pressure on us defensively, like we talked about the physicality, whatever it may be, we can't deal with. And so if I'm Monty, I'm going to get some players that can deal with it.
Right.
We talked about it, Whitey. We want to have a team that no matter who the opponent is, we're able to adapt.
We dictate to you what's going on.
Warriors want to play fast? Okay, we could do that. We could play fast, a finesse game. Celtics want to play a rough, beat it up kind of game? Fizzle? We could play that. We could play that. And so that's what you want. Like Denver can play in anything. They can outshoot you from the three if they want. They can grind you on the inside. They could defend you with KCP and Aaron Gordon on the perimeter. And so that's where we need to get to.
Mm-hmm. So what we need to do is get ready for Frankie. I know the calls are lined up. We'll get to the calls here. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Our Kings insider, Frankie Cardicelli. Where does this go from here? What do the Kings do after last night? Frankie's got all the answers, right? We'll find out next when he joins us here. Drive Guys on Sactown Sports. Yeah, same as it ever was with the Celtics knocking off the Kings. Drive Guys here. PTI just had their NBA Roundup segment, and they were showing some Kings-Celtics highlights. Their question was, what was the most intriguing result of last night? There are many words I would use to describe the Kings game. Intriguing would not be one of them. To tell us more about what words are useful in understanding that game, our Kings insider, Sactown Sports, Frankie Cardicelli. Hello, Frankie. It's going to be just you and me because Kyle doesn't really feel like talking about the game.
Like, seriously. What is there to say, Frankie? You're the expert, though. I'm glad we got you on, man.
Expert? I don't know. I'm listening to you guys for that. But, there's not much you really can say. I was telling you guys off recording that the Kings really just got beat in every category. There's not really anywhere you can look and say, well, at least they got beat in the paint. They got beat fast break. They got beat on the perimeter, which, again, was I wrote up my preview yesterday saying, you know, the Celtics are the number one three-point shooting team in the league in attempts and makes.
Mm-hmm.
Might want to pay a little attention. And it's a low bar. They were 18-0, and they shot 33% or better. They're an incredible team.
Right.
Granted,
right.
Their record's incredible. It's a low bar. But they went a little over that mark. And by a little bit, I mean first time. And I think, last year, the Mavericks had five guys score 20 or more. But you have five guys score 20 or more. And, again, the Celtics have good players, but definitely does not an ideal situation for a team that seems to get behind that eight ball in these blowouts and they never can recover.
Never.
You know, Frankie, you talked about, writing about the three-point shot. The game plan clearly had to be take away the three, right? Like, that's what Boston does. And so when I watched that game last night, I'm not going to put it on Mike Brown, even though he says he got outcoached, he's taking some of the blame. But we all know what the game plan is when you play the Boston Celtics. I'm putting it on the players for lack of execution, lack of effort. You can't give up 30 fast break points when you only turn the ball over seven times. Think about that. They're getting rebounds, inbounding, whatever it is, and they're just out-hustling you, out-working you. And to me, that's on the players last night.
Yeah, there was a couple of plays in particular, especially when the game started getting away in the early third quarter. Loose balls, like 50-50 balls, like De'Aaron Fox going for a ball in the corner. You see Derek White come flying in and rip it away from him.
Mm-hmm.
Keegan Murray down the post, which he's had an issue with getting the ball and going straight up with it. He wants to put the ball on the floor or make a gather dribble. Go right up with it. And you're getting the ball poked free by Jaylen Brown. And it's just a lot of small things that turn to a big run.
Mm-hmm.
And especially when you look at the Kings, who've been a bad defensive team since the beginning of last year. And they've taken some steps forward, but when you play against a team, and I think Deuce Mason said it last night too, just that there are levels to this. And the Kings against the Boston Celtics, you're not going to survive a run like that.
Quick question, though, because I get it, but without Tatum and Al Horford, this isn't the same Boston Celtics. And I know they still have quality players, their system is great and things like that, but shouldn't we have been able to be more competitive against this version of the Celtics?
Absolutely.
I understand there's levels to it, but The Celtics that we saw last night isn't the real Celtics without Jason Tatum. Yeah. It's a lower version of that.
Peyton Pritchard scoring. And good player. Right. Good player. Good bench piece. But doing what he did last night, what did he finish with? 20-plus? 20,
yeah,
24?
He was one of those guys. Yeah,
20 points off the bench on 6 of 11. You have, obviously, Derek White has been playing some great basketball this year. Brendan Nunes and I were talking about just how the Kings could really use a guy like that. Just a defense, three-point heavy guy. But that being said, if the Kings are who we want them to be, the fans want them to be, and we all think they should be, which is a true contender, you can't have games like that against shorthanded teams. And it's something that happens time and time again that we've seen with the Sacramento Kings. They play against these shorthanded teams, and you know, you never are happy for injuries, ever. But sometimes you look at a matchup and go, hey, maybe the Kings can get one tonight. And that's never the case. Yeah. It really is never the case when they play against these teams.
Frankie Cardicelli is, of course, our Kings insider, Sacktown Sports. Did last night in any way, perhaps it didn't, I don't mean to be asked a leading question, but did last night change your view of how good the Kings are right now and what they may need to do at the deadline?
No, I think it's going to be a longer conversation, and especially when you look at the Kings, who have done a very good job of handling adversity. They've answered a lot of these punches that have been thrown at them. Even in the playoffs, when they lose three straight to the Warriors, they punch back and win their first game on the road, and however many, I think it was 4 years since Chase Center opened. They handle adversity very well, and I expect them to come out tomorrow and look a lot better against Phoenix. But I think with the conversation of whether what to do with the roster, I think you got to get a little more into January and see where you are, and maybe even to the end of January. And that's something that Chris and Alan, Brent, we all talked about it at our roundtable on Wednesday. We all agreed that we're not really ready to pull the plug on this group yet. And they're a very tight-knit group. Mm-hmm. And I think that if you go ahead and you break up that core that's been together since the beginning of last year, mid-season, it can go one or two ways. I think it can either go really, really well for you or really, really poorly. And I think we've seen it go poorly more times than not with other NBA franchises. So it's clear the team needs defense. They need length. They don't have enough defenders to guard teams like the Celtics, like the Pelicans, like the Clippers. How can they get there? We know it's going to take a move, but does it happen now or does it happen maybe next year in the summer when more players become available? Because right now the names that you're hearing, OG Anunoby, Pascal Siakam, Zach LaVine, is that going to be it? I mean, not that those aren't enough, but like if that's all that's out there right now, I'm not sure if that's really going to fix the problem right now. I think there might be other players that come available down the line. And
you're right, like Jeremy Grant. You're right.
Jeremy Grant, yeah, sure.
this guy, Jeremy Grant.
He's not available till January 15th. I've been keeping an eye on him.
You're counting on the days, aren't you?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
Frankie Cardicelli joining us, Sacktown Sports, 1140 Kings Insider. Frankie, I feel for De'Aaron Fox. Big night for him. Birthday comes out on fire. What do you think happened in the second half? And I know the game got out of hand and it got away. Did the Celtics do something? Did the Kings go away from Fox? Was Fox not as aggressive? Only two shot attempts in the second half for De'Aaron Fox.
Yeah, I'm not sure about the matchup stats exactly, but I know that in certain sets that Jrue Holiday was giving him a hard time, obviously, and denying, and then Derek White, two very good defenders. And the Kings obviously had a good night offensively, which is insane that they shoot 47% from the field and from three and they lose. But they were kind of going to other guys there later on the second half, and Fox wasn't getting enough three-point attempts up because that's one thing they really tried to do. They tried to deny Fox early up in the front court to not let him get into that three-point shot because he was stepping into 30-footers last night and knocking him down, which that's just who he is now. But they were doing a good job of taking him away from that because that was really their entire offense in the first half. He was their guy. And when he stopped scoring, the Kings in a way stopped scoring too. And, you know, Fox has got to find a way to kind of find a different avenue to get buckets, and we know he can. But when you look at what the Celtics are doing to seal off the paint, and Kristaps Porzingis last night, 6 blocks, just giving them nightmares down there, I think that was taken away from him too. So when you take away the three and the paint, there's not really much more we can do than force, and Fox isn't really a guy that forces too many looks.
Frankie, Mike Brown said, as he always does, some really interesting things after the game. He talked about being out-coached. He talked about accountability coming from within. Some really interesting things. I'm wondering if there was one main takeaway you had from Coach Brown's postgame, what that would be from last night.
I mean, last night and today too, it just kind of chalk it up as, you know, it's one game and we're going to move on. Same thing De'Aaron Fox, the same thing today too. Just what I think he was asked today, just how are you handling it? And he's like, oh, it's over with. It's in the past. We're going to move on. And I know that's not an answer people really love to hear.
It's certainly what the Celtics did with their loss to the Warriors.
They moved on. They turned a page.
You have to. And it's because it's game, 26? Like, there's a long way to go. And two big ones ahead of you. And I think dwelling on what happened last night won't do anybody any good. I mean, obviously, the red flags are red flags. And you can't go ahead and ignore those in the long term. But you got a game tomorrow night against Phoenix, who will have Kevin Durant playing.
Yeah.
They did not have Kevin Durant playing last time in Phoenix. And that's one thing that we've all talked about. I think among the, you know, obviously last night on social media, there was an uproar of people, you know, national media not giving the Kings the respect they might, may or may not deserve. And the wins they've pulled aside. But, you know, the Suns, when there was no Kevin Durant, there was no Bradley Beal. No Bradley Beal tomorrow night, but the Kings need to focus on what's in front of them right now. And they have a very hard back-to-back against Kevin Durant and the Suns and then Anthony Edwards and the Timberwolves on Saturday.
Timberwolves, yes.
Frankie, should we read into not only just losing, but the way they're losing, the blowout losses? How much should we be concerned about that?
I think it's definitely something that we should be a little concerned about, because I think stopping the run, that's one thing I'm looking for. They can't stop these runs. Yeah. When the Kings get behind, and the Clippers did it, the Pelicans did it twice, the Rockets did it, there just really isn't a way to break it up. And I know Mike Brown will call timeout, but they pick up right, these opposing teams pick up right where they are leaving off. And that's the question, is how do you stop that? How can you make them uncomfortable? How can you pressure these teams into changing their game plan? And right now, it's not happening. I mean, the Celtics are just going last night, and again, maybe it's the Kings blowing defensive rotations, I don't know, but it just seemed like no matter what happened, there was an open guy on the corner knocking down a three. And that's credit to Boston, who again is from a record standpoint, what, their best record in the NBA, 21-6. Mm-hmm. You got to tip your cap. Like, these guys are a very good offense. They have a good defense. They have good pretty much everything. Good depth, as we saw. Missing two core guys, one MVP candidate. So being able to stop those runs is one thing I'm going to keep an eye on. And when the Kings give up these big, you know, 12-2, 14-2 runs, whatever, what have you, apply pressure. Make guys uncomfortable. Get physical. And they've missed that physical presence. What you see with Keegan getting the ball poked away from him, with guys hustling and getting a little physical and taking loose balls away from De'Aaron Fox, the Kings need to have some plays like that. Need some guys to go out there and get gritty. And that might be a reason why, you know, the Kings brought in Juan Toscano-Anderson. Have a guy out there to be an enforcer, not for long minutes, but just guys that can go out there and aren't afraid to throw their body around. Alex Len is another guy, too, who was back at practice today. So I'd keep an eye on that.
Frankie always makes me feel better. Make you feel any better today?
Yeah, it did. It was like Simone's a therapy session. Yeah.
There you go.
I brought the gifts, too, from HR.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, that are from somebody else.
Not from me.
That's what counts. Thank you, Frankie.
Of course.
We appreciate it. Obviously, great Kings coverage. SacktownSports.com. When we come back, bad loss. What's next? 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. As promised, we'll get to your calls next. Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports. Bad, bad, bad loss. Bad loss. 144-119, as you know, to the Celtics. So now what? It's just a game. One game, shake it off. Or do you have to look at this as an indication of some deeper flaws and react to that? What do you do? Bad loss. Now what? 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Kyle Draper, who's with your help, with Frankie's help, with my help, I think, starting to warm up to the idea of actually talking more about the game and feeling better about it.
You know, because I'm at the point now, Kings fans, I had my say. I vented last night. I vented our first few segments. Now we need to come up with some solutions.
Mm-hmm.
How do we make sure Friday night it doesn't happen? Saturday it doesn't happen? That's what I want to hear, too. I understand the level of frustration because I'm frustrated, too.
By the way, do you see what Eric Gordon is saying about the Suns?
No,
they haven't been playing well, and they just lost to Portland. And he says we're playing selfishly and – So there's some things going on with the Suns.
And he's a newbie, too. Yeah. Like, he just comes
I wonder if that means they're not throwing the ball to me.
Right. Yeah, he's not getting enough looks. That's interesting. We'll see him tomorrow, though.
Uh-huh. Yeah, let's talk to Doug here. Doug, thanks for listening. You're with the Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports. Hello, Doug.
Gentlemen, how are you?
Good.
I am not in the same context for many that, you know, things are really horrible, but you have to see where you are in the scope of things. So if you go in and try to compete against the Bostons, the Philadelphias, the Milwaukees, the top teams in the East, and you use that game last night as a measurement, regardless of who played, how did you execute? Where you are in the game up to halftime, you were going punch for punch with them. And then they get the second half of the game and going, we're putting you guys away. And then we didn't have anything to combat that with. And so the score ended up what it ended up. So there's some things that they did coaching-wise that they ran a lot of that high screen and roll, and they kept putting, I think, Sabonis in it 2-3 times in a row, and they kept getting the shots that they wanted. So we didn't have anything to counteract that, and that's something that you can go in and do. But also you have to have the players on your roster that allow that to happen. We're not there yet. Hey, last year was fantastic. You get to the first round, game seven. Hey, what are you trying to do this year? You're trying to get past the first round, into the second round, and see what happens. So there's players out there that you can go and say, this guy's a better fit for us. We need more guys who can do these things, and they have more tools in their toolbox. So we don't have enough guys that can play defense and offense. We got a lot of guys that are going, oh, we can lock somebody down. Said, hey, can you shoot the ball? Eh, not so good. So those are things that Monty's going to be out there looking for at the trade deadline and see the chips that we have. Boston is good. If Porzingis played the night before against the Warriors, I don't think the Warriors win. Because they had, what, 10 block shots last night for the Celtics? And what'd they do? They took Fox out of his game, and he's coming down there, and it's not everything is a foul, and he got his stuff swatted. And that's what happened. And so there's all kinds of different aspects. They were playing chess. We were playing checkers, and they kept making moves, and we didn't have a counter move. Love the show. Thank you so much.
That's all I've got. Appreciate it. Maybe Doug should have his own show here.
Yeah, that was a good call, Doug.
Doug show.
Yeah, that was an excellent call.
Yeah, you know? Thank you.
I disagree with him on a couple of things, but he's allowed his opinion because he mentioned the defense. And when I'm watching that game last night, Whitey, one thing that perplexed me was, why are we switching on everything? Like, they ran that Porzingis, you know, to get
Herder.
Why are we switching on that every time? Yeah. And he just turns around, shoots right over him every time. Mm-hmm. And so, I said it wasn't on Mike Brown and the players. I can't imagine. Like, I thought we switched way too easily last night defensively. Like, and when that, to me, that's a sign of, you know what? I don't want to fight through the screen. I want to be lazy, you know? And that's what I took out of yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, the Warriors started that years ago, switch on everything, right? The idea is supposed to be we're interchangeable.
Yeah.
You can't gain an advantage with your screens because we're all about same size.
Yeah.
But obviously that wasn't the case last night. By the way, what did you think of this? Mike Brown said after the game, we complain too much. He said it starts with me.
Oh, yeah. That was a big part of last night, especially in that first half. I mean, every time. And Mike Brown, like you said, echoed it. It seems like they sort of get out of whack. They let the officiating get in their heads.
Yep.
And that affects their play.
Kind of a woe is me thing.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, there was a point where I think Malik Monk tried to calm the bench down, the coaches down, told them to be quiet. And so it's not just the players that are having troubles, you know, dealing with the officiating. The coaching staff also is having an issue.
Yeah. As the great Bill Herenda taught me, you probably heard this.
Yeah.
When you're playing, you treat the officiating like you would the weather. If the call's going one way, you adjust. If it's cold outside, you wear something warmer.
Right.
You can't complain about the weather.
Right. Yes.
You just have to adjust to it.
Yeah. Way too much complaining yesterday.
Yeah. Let's see. Casey joins us on Sacktown Sports, 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Casey, what's up?
I was at the game last night, probably left about 8 minutes early. I just couldn't take any more of those Boston fans, man. Too many fans there. It was embarrassing for the Kings fans to have that many Boston fans there. And as far as the game goes, I don't understand where the Kings are soft. They're so soft. They're softer than toilet paper. You don't get curb stomped at home like that and not lay a hard foul on somebody. You just continually let them get to the rack and nobody steps up and fouls somebody hard. Like, you wonder why they're getting to the rack, because they know they're going to get a ticky-tack foul call and get an and one anyways. So it's like, we've had 7 games where we've lost by 20 points. And can you remember in any of those games, or even all season long, where we've had one guy come in and foul somebody hard and let them know, hey, maybe you're not going to get to the paint tonight and just lay it up every time? What do you guys think about somebody needing to lay a hard foul on somebody?
Thank you, Casey. I know you were hanging on a long time. I appreciate that. I just, it's very appealing, but in today's NBA, it's really, you run the risk of getting ejected it's just not like it used to be.
Right. You're not going to get that enforcer, somebody that lays out a guy. But I will say, to Casey's point, one of the problems I have is when teams are putting the wood on us, they're laughing and smiling. They're having fun with it.
Oh, yeah.
And so maybe you don't have that enforcer or anything. But instead of looking deer in the headlights shell-shocked, let me see some frustration out on the court.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see a technical foul. Let me see Mike Brown get tossed out. Let me see in the huddle somebody throw a clipboard or something like that. Let me see a player challenge it. Just show me a pulse in those situations. I'm not saying go out there and take a guy out or anything like that. But when you're getting beat as badly as you were yesterday, don't just sit there and take it.
Right.
And that's what we've been doing this season, which has been so frustrating.
Yeah, the other thing, Casey, and you were there, you know, sometimes it's hard to put a hard foul on somebody when they're going to the basket because nobody's near them. You know, they spread out the Kings defense and there's over help because they're so weak on the perimeter. You get over helping, defense gets totally out of position, and then you got to drive from the other team right to the rim. Nobody there. And then if somebody helps there, they throw it out for a wide open
wide
three.
Open.
Teams just stretch the Kings defense to the point where it's totally transparent almost. Just there's nothing there, no substance to it.
And maybe the word's out. All you got to do is run your offense a couple of times through, and the Kings are going to make multiple efforts defensively. To your point, the Celtics work the ball around. They work their offense. And the Kings, like, how many open threes did they get? I'm going to look this up in our next break.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they had wide open looks, like, where guys are just – and Mike Brown called several timeouts after some of those threes, where guys just sit there instead of trying to actually challenge and close out. They look and sort of give up on the play almost, and that's frustrating. And like I said, Brown called some timeouts. Those timeouts did not work last night.
Right, right. He even said, I tried to call him out. It didn't work.
Yeah.
I have to think the public view today, what the Kings are saying is, one game, we're fine.
Yeah.
That's what they're presenting publicly. In-house, it's got to be more of what Mike Brown said last night, along the lines of, you guys need to call each other out. Somebody needs to hold somebody else on this team.
That's what I'm talking about, Whitey. That's what I'm talking about. Where's I'm gonna just throw out a name. Where's Malik Monk yelling at so and so? Dude, you missed that defensive assignment. Like
he said,
they have to police themselves.
Do it, guys.
Yes,
it has to come from. And he said, starts with Foxy and Sabonis, but it can be anybody.
They just accepted
begging
it.
For it.
They just accepted that butt kicking last night, and that's upsetting.
339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. As you know, did the Celtics break the Kings? Well, guess who says they did? That's next here with the Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports.